Good afternoon, planet Earth, wherever you are. It's right around noon, Tuesday, September the 12th, 2023, and I'm at an undisclosed location. Somewhere in the hillside, somewhere in the green, somewhere within the trees where the buffalo and the whale roam, someplace in the jungle, filled with insects, all of them wanting me, all of them wanting you. That's right, all of them wanting me and wanting you. Yesterday was September the 11th, 22 years after 9/11. I don't want to talk about it. I don't have anything to say. Lots of people have opinions about it. But as time wears on, the story, which was originally kind of empty and flimsy, becomes flimsier and rustier. And yet at the same time, I recognize that there's almost no chance that most Americans, enough Americans, will give up on the illusion. It's a lot like going to the moon, right? I mean, it's a matter of public record that the Gulf of Tonkin, the Department of Defense, United States military, and CIA set up a situation that was essentially rigging war with North Vietnam. Okay, this is a matter of public record, but if you go up to people and you ask them about why did we fight in the Vietnam War, and you talk about the Gulf of Tonkin, their eyes glaze over, they don't want to know. They don't want to know. They do not want to know. That is the truth. They don't want to know. You might want to drill into that. You might want to get a pickaxe for the awareness and consciousness of others and hit them directly in the soul magnet and somehow break through. But they don't want to know. They don't care. I mean, if there is a reckoning coming, it's not going to be like what happened to the Nazis after World War II, or what essentially happened to the Western Roman Empire in the 5th century AD. It's not going to be like any of that. And it's not going to be something for which you're going to get warning. And so I'm not surprised. You know, I one of the lessons I've learned on this rather crooked journey, including that, you know, my listeners are pretty cool. The dude that let me stay with him here, you know, it wasn't really going to be long-term. I you know, something we talked about, it was sort of a short-term thing. But the dude that let me live here, pretty cool dude, smart guy. You know, I'm very thankful for the time I've had here. It wasn't going to last. It was something that in this journey, I sort of lost track of. And in a way, that's my bad. But the fact is, it's been a good break, especially after the, you know, Greyhound situation. I don't even want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about the butt parasites. I don't want to talk about the meth head bus driver. I don't want to talk about the fact that they probably owe me the whole ticket back. But the only way I'd ever probably get them to pay me would be to, like, take them to people's court. And you have to understand, this is where Greyhound is right now. If you want to understand the esteem and respect, you know, one of the reasons why Greyhound buses have so many empty fucking seats is because a lot of people just get dropped along the way. It's like, oh, what happened to Bernie? Bernie got lost near Fresno. He was on the pooper too long at the Chevron. What happened to Maria? Oh, Maria mouthed off to the wrong bus driver. She got left in a ravine. We don't talk about it if we want to get there alive. What happened to Tony? What happened to Tony is real bad. We stopped in Drumswick, not far from East Broswell. If you know Rhode Island, it's near the Dunwich Horror. Yes, indeed. That's Greyhound. You get on board, you might make it. That's a really good Greyhound motto. Get on board, you might get there. I think I had, one decent Greyhound bus driver, and the other bus driver wasn't Greyhound, so it's hard for me to judge, how I should measure one versus the other. But yeah, this has been a really good break from what happened on the Greyhound. And what I learned so much. It's like I'm still processing. I was able to touch that inner layer of human denial and total self-destruction, and I was able to get close to the heart of things, really. Because, the next level down from Greyhound is street homelessness. It really is. And therefore, but the grace of God, right? None of us can predict the future. And I think I learned this on this weird journey. I need to be more understanding of the fact that a lot of people, good people, for reasons that I understand, have constructed realities around themselves. Some of the material, maybe most of it, they get from, the deep state, from the system, from the YouTube, from whatever station they're tuned into, whatever podcast they listen to. Some of it comes from the normal sources, and some of it's simply a manufacturing of bits and pieces of memory and hope and love and pleasure and other things that makes a person happy, because without that, people might be forced to look at the truth. And what I've learned on this journey is that we are now at the stage where, barring quixotic behavior, no amount of ranting or podcasting or having an opinion is going to get through to people. We are at the stage where the deep state no longer has to do very much. It really doesn't. It just has to toss a little fear grenade. Oh my God, the COVID's coming back. Oh my God, Putin's gonna attack us with nuclear torpedoes. Shit, fuck, shit. Yeah, all they need are a couple little fear grenades, and people are just mesmerized. But for the most part, people are producing their own fear chambers, their own little dark little worlds, and no amount of proffering or poking or even trying to convince people is going to change that at all. That is the stage we are at. And if you want to know if that's a stage right before something happens, something probably pretty big and terrible, if we're being honest, yeah. And also, it probably doesn't fucking matter. Not for a lot of people. As long as their constructed reality works, they'll stay there. And let me be so boldly honest. My 2.5 years, roughly, in Utah were not perfect. I was not always a perfect guest, and maybe my hosts were not always perfect hosts, but for the most part, it was some of the most peaceful time, peaceful, understanding, decent time. I have no better word for it in my entire fucking life. My whole life. I felt at peace. I had a kind of quiet. I could sleep and I could sleep well. And did I just laze about and do nothing? No, I worked on a few projects and I podcasted. That's what I did. But I also built a world around myself, and some of it was real. It was the world of, Roosevelt, Utah. It was the world of walk-in boomer. Gotta get up at 6 a.m. Get up at 6 a.m., Dan. If you don't get up, something bad's gonna happen. That's what Boomer says. So I'd get up at 6 a.m. and I learned early on you don't want to go get your burrito first, because Boomer's gonna figure that shit out one way or the other. Better off getting the walk done first. But I had my own little world, and I've talked about it. If you've been listening to my podcast for more than a few months, you understand I had a reality and something that might not have been reality. And I was happy. And the parts of it that were real made me happy, for the most part. And the parts of it that were totally in my head, I understood what they were. I mean, I suppose there's a minimal amount of moral authority or superiority if you say to somebody, well, at least I'm aware of my self-delusion. But does it really matter? I mean, it's a question of what your choice of drug is at this point. Is it tuning into Fox News every day you get home so you can get angry? Is it turning on Alex Jones? Is it listening to some random, you know, profit and prosperity and gold and money through Jesus preacher? I don't even know. And it's not my fucking business. I don't fucking care. By the way, in a previous podcast, I was talking about COVID. Well, if you listen clearly to it, you know that my position on the vaccine has always been consistent. Poison or placebo, if you got the poison, I'm sorry. And maybe some of the poison is designed, like so many CIA poisons are, to look like something else. Oh boy. I just pushed that by accident. Yeah, no, I don't want to enter anything. Ugh, this is bullshit. Bullshit! Okay, I'm gonna have to reboot you, baby. Because frankly, I never learned all your dials and zippers, did I, Mr. Roland? I don't know, I always thought about doing a boot camp on really learning how to use a synthesizer correctly, but I really only use it to be a piano. I don't know. So yeah, if you took the vaccine and it poisoned you, I had a podcast, 2021, Poison or Placebo, is one of the ones that, you know, led to my YouTube channel getting deleted one of the times. It's been deleted a few times. I've created channels, they get canceled. Why? I have no fucking clue. It seems like I have about 50 people that fucking listen to me, so how the fuck would that be a threat to anybody? It's weird. Needless to say, poison or placebo. But when it comes to the virus, I've been consistent. It's psychological warfare. And as I rethink what I said in my previous podcast about a magical virus that self-destructs, that leaves no trace, I honestly gotta say, Occam's razor tells me PSYOP makes more sense. It's not to say they couldn't produce such a thing. Maybe they could, and maybe they're going to use that. But what we've seen so far is PSYOP and human psychology, and a lot of people using the COVID as a reason to not go to work. Let's be honest about that. I mean, I can at least say I was working my job prior to it with my podcast, and I was working after it, and I did other work too. But a lot of people are using it as an excuse to not go to work. I'm being honest with you. And some people are psychologically damaged from it. They're convinced they had it. They're convinced they have a long-term illness. You're never going to get through that. And as a percentage of the population, you'd expect that. As a result of military psychological warfare. But do I believe there's a magical virus that self-destructs and you can't possibly know what's in it and, you know, target specific demographics and geographical areas? No, I don't. I don't. Do I think it fucking matters at this point? No, not at all. Doesn't matter, not gonna make a difference. Who you vote for, it's not gonna make a difference. What fucking podcast you listen to? Fucking irrelevant. None of this is going to matter. Is it the end of the world? No, probably not. But is it probably we're on the edge of something fucking crazy? Like, I don't know. The Skeezic Wars? The Skeezic Wars began with great fanfare, as Lord Heflon said, "Bring forth the Togimlak warriors and tanks. It's time we regained land against the busty women of Bustia, not far from Boobstrom. These terrible Skeezic wars, they lasted so many years. So many generations went to fight the enemy and ended up, you know, coming home with husbands and wives. Yeah. Could be. I don't know. I've had these weird thoughts about telling a tale of a world where people merge their bodies, not with super technology, but with some kind of really rancid and greasy and kind of dirty steampunky bullshit. Like they become these half-human, half-steampunk machines. And like caterpillars, they have other little insects called people that keep the thing rolling along. It's almost as if you need a locomotive-sized machine to keep a human working. To keep the blood pumping, to oxygenate the blood, to digest the food. There are little dials with little steampunk hands and metal fingers for touching you the way that you want me to touch you. Yeah, I wonder what that world would look like. It's a crazy, crazy thought. I don't know. Don't know. This podcast doesn't have much of an outline. Another vision I had while I've been here in the hills, really, it could be Penn Stuckey. It could be Chris Bama. It could be what's referred to as Missouricon. You don't really need to know where I am exactly, but I am in the hills of the Orlikon district, where all the singers of songs dance about, and they sing to their cow, so their cow produces better milk. Somewhere in the Orlikon district, I had this vision of a family, some Thanksgiving ahead of us. And you don't know their past. They may have been a prosperous family. Their father might have worked for a big company and had a great job. But times got hard, as they did in the Orlikon district. And this one Thanksgiving holiday in the Orlikon region, they decided, well, we want to have a cooked turkey. They turned off our gas. They turned off our electric. We're going to have a cooked turkey, and I know how. They brought the gas grill into the home. Sure, they had the windows open because they knew that they shouldn't let the bad things build up. They cooked their turkey and had a fine meal in the Orlikon town of Krensleyville. Come to Krensleyville. See our boneyard here in Krensleyville. We'll show you where you leave them if they show up and we don't like them. In Krensleyville. Come to Krensleyville. Yeah. Back at our family's home, they've had their turkey and they're kind of chilly, so they closed the windows. They turned on the gas grill to heat up the house, give it a nice temperature. Oh boy, you can guess what happens next. You know. Just another tragedy in the Orlikon district. You don't need the gruesome details. Their carbon monoxide alarm goes off. They all get out of the house very quickly, very quickly. Even the little ones, even the little kitty cat. And then there's a rich man from Texas outside that says, I want to buy your home. I need to build me a home here in the Orlikon, and I'll give you 55 million berbilia blobs. And so that family moves. They move to Hawaii, or maybe not Hawaii, maybe Chile. They move to Tierra del Fuego, and they live in a cave, and they're happy to this day. I was listening to Dane Wigington. Probably shouldn't have. I currently get a minimal amount of internet out of the system I'm using. It's not really much, but it's just enough to listen to Dane at a lower resolution of audio quality. And in one of his recent video blog podcasts, geoengineeringwatch.org, that's geoengineeringwatch.org. In one of his recent ones, he talks about smoke brain and fire brain. And of course, this is related to damage to your brain from being exposed to fire, you know, from smoke from the fires and the various heat from the flame of the fires, these forest fires. They're quite terrible. They're not funny. But I was thinking, what if there are two dudes wandering the countryside somewhere in the Orlikon district, and one of them calls himself Smoke Brain, and one of them calls themselves Fire Brain, and Smoke Brain's like, my name's Smoke Brain. I have a friend. His name is Firebrain. We're here to help you. But Firebrain is like, listen, I'm Firebrain. My brain is filled with flame. If you turn on me, I'll turn up the gas. And this is all too funny. I don't know if you keep track of what little news you should, because most of it's crap, but there's this dude who's currently on the run not far from the Orlikon district. His name is like Cavalcante, I don't know. His name is some type of Conte. He's from Brazil. He seems to be on the run. His sister's in trouble because she looked out for him for Cavalcante. And Cavalcante's out there. He's seeking revenge. He's out there in the Orlikon district with Smoke Brain and Fire Brain, and they're driving a truck called Pain. They're heading to your home. Are you ready? Do you have a shotgun? Do you have a flamethrower? Do you have a stick of dynamite you can shove up their butts? Yes, indeed. You better have some of that technology. Here's an idea for a movie title. An English Teacher in England. This is the story of Crimsmickle McWickles, the chief pupil who graduated from Oxford School for English Teachers. He was hoping to be sent to some far-flung place to fall in love with some native busty woman. That's what he was hoping for, Crimswickle. But instead, Crimswickle is assigned to the English school for those kids who need a little bit of help. So he is the English teacher in England, and all kinds of hijinks ensue. Oh, what will an English teacher in England ever do? Maybe he meets the king. Maybe he gets some bling. Maybe he forms a posse. Maybe he comes a little crazy. Maybe he does cocaine in the soggy rain. 'Cause it's soddy old England, and he's an English teacher. An English teacher in England. That movie script writes itself. English teacher in England. That'd be a great fucking movie. But here in the Orlikon district of what used to be called the United States of America, here in the Orlikon district, another dark movie title comes to mind. Actually, the other one wasn't dark, but this one will be. Here's the movie title, and I just have to write the script, right? Suicide by Homicide. And it's probably already been done by the Lifetime Channel. Somebody check. I don't have good internet right now. Suicide by Homicide. The story of a forensic psychologist, Misty Collins. She finds out she's dying of a horribly incurable disease, but she will be able to make love and be sexy until the last moment. She finds herself entwined with the story of a horrible killer named Rusty Brownsford. Yes, Misty and Rusty, they make a little love pact. Rusty promises to kill Misty, because Misty knows she'll die. That's kind of horrible, though, isn't it? Suicide by Homicide. The title is terrible. The entire plot of contrivance. You know, Rusty might have a nice backstory. Maybe he was a Navy SEAL that got done wrong. You never know. Those guys are crazy fuckers. But you never know, right? About good old Misty and Rusty. So that's where we're at. On this Tuesday, September the 12th, 2023, a day after the day that we celebrate what happened on 9/11, and to this day, I still don't think we know what happened on 9/11. I think it's a lot of bullshit. I think the wars were bullshit. I think they were mostly about ripping off poor people. And, you know, Syria is the perfect example. It didn't matter if Trump was there or Biden is there. What is true about Syria is we have U.S. military occupying territories that specifically have oil. And Syria is a poor country, and we are stealing from them. What about this is fucking complicated? This is pretty fucking simple. Not our resources, not our country. We have no fucking business being there. And as far as I recall back in the day, you know, Assad more or less was supportive of our efforts early on in whatever the fuck the war on terror was. But certainly nobody said, oh my God, the Syrians attacked us. So there's no way to connect A to Z here, and yet we keep doing it. Pretty soon, we're going to invade England. Because, you know, if there's oil under England, really. If we discover a massive reserve of oil under jolly old England, it'll turn out the king is a jerk, that the parliament is crap, that English people are all terrorists, We're coming for you. You're the terrorists. We have to finish what we started in 1812. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know, people. It's one of those things where I just don't know. It's like I say to myself, I think I know, but do I know? And I don't know. On this day, we can recall that there was this thing that happened, but what we should also pay attention to is what the fuck's going on right now. And it does look like they're trying to stew up some COVID part two bullshit. Kind of think that's the nonsense you do right about the end. People will be dumb up to a point. I'm not a fan of Abraham Lincoln, but his quote about you can't fool all the people all the time, you know, you can fool some of the people. Some of the time, you know, all the people some of the time and some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Well, you can't. And it's not simply as a matter of opinion. I think it's psychological fact. People reach a point where they can no longer tolerate something that is damaging them. And there is a point at which that will be reached. And I think it's already been reached for a lot of people. Does that mean that people are suddenly going to become aware just in time? No. It is too fucking late. Okay, whatever the fucking plan is, it's not the reset, it's not the FEMA camps, they're not going to waste one fucking barrel of diesel trucking people out of the city to any place. And if you lived in a city in 2020 and you did not, as I've said before, understand that you were in a FEMA camp, what the fuck is wrong with you? They're not going to waste bullets, people. If there are bullets to waste, they will waste them defending themselves from whatever cadres of hopeful freaks come for them. Because there will be. There'll be people who think they're Sylvester Stallone, that they're Rambo, that they'll be able to seek revenge. It's one of the reasons why I don't think that the most elite are anywhere in the countries that are going to collapse. I think there might be bunker systems in the United States, but I don't think they're for anything else but whatever cheap entertainment the elite are going to get at the end. But beyond that, I don't think that's where they are. I would guess Antarctica, you know, if you were going to make a guess about a place that's essentially a desert. So if there were a nuclear war, fallout isn't really as much an issue in Antarctica, especially if most of the targets are in the Northern Hemisphere. If you wanted a place where it would be super fucking hard for any elite cadre of Navy SEALs or Rogers Rangers or other types of force recon bullshit, if you wanted a place that would be difficult to reach for anyone, even the most elite, Antarctica is it. That's it. I mean, I suppose you could tunnel into the mountains of the Himalayas, but I think the Chinese have already been doing that. No. Best case scenario, what's coming for the rest of us, as George Carlin might have said, what's coming for those of us that are not in the club is a lot of chaos, if we're lucky. A lot of chaos, a lot of social disintegration, a lot of people who currently live in their head and at some point will have to confront reality. And that probably includes me too. You know, I told you one of the lessons I learned on my little trip so far, I'm still at least 100 feet off the ground, which means I could easily fall and break my neck. But brothers and sisters, I've met nobody that much closer. Nobody. On this trip, on previous journeys, in the last 53 fucking years of my life, I might be flying 100 feet off the ground, but I have met no one who is flying closer to ground. No one. So it's going to be rough for everybody. And so I don't really think it makes sense for me to spend a lot of time trying to convince people or even pretend that I would be allowed or even in the world of convincing people of whatever the fuck the truth is. I think we're all going to find out pretty fucking soon. And maybe it is a surprise party, right? You know, remember back in 2020 when I said they're hiding something, but it's probably not a surprise party? Maybe it is. Maybe all the PSYOP garbage and all the financial bullshit and all the Jerome Powell, let's chase the tiger and get chased by the bear kerfuffle. For all that shit, maybe sometime in 2024, they announce everybody gets tacos this month for free. And there are spaceships heading to Alpha Gamelon Exelon 519. And on that planet, you look young and you look healthy and you live as long as you want to and you have really good sex, married couples. Maybe. Maybe sometime in 2024, that's what's going to happen. I don't think so. I don't think they've been hiding a fucking surprise party. I don't think they've been hiding something good. And if they were going to do the fucking reset, as I said in 2020, they would have done pyramids on Mars. They would have done some type of blue beam bullshit, probably with a positive edge to it. Hey, we've come here and we're going to cure your butt cancer. So no. I don't think any of that's on the menu. Does that mean it's the end of the world? Does that mean people should give up? No. Why would you give up? Who promised you shit? Did somebody promise you something magical when you popped out of your mom so many fucking years ago? Nobody was promised shit. I don't care how rich you are, how attractive you are, how young or old you are. No one is guaranteed shit. You can choose to live in a community where people treat each other like human beings, or you can live what most places are now, where people couldn't give a shit, a crap, a fuck if you were drowning in front of them. They couldn't care less. I mean, just like the bus driver said, when he said he couldn't care less, I believed him. Because I believed I'd seen that dark, bowelish, ugly, slimy thing. The thing that crawls up from the bottom of the crater. The crater within the crater. And it says to us, I couldn't care less. That is scientifically provable, sir. I mean, others might be better at caring less. So maybe you haven't found the bottom. But in terms of your narrow IQ and your little pinpoint meth head eyes, I would say that you have delved the bottom, sir, of the greyhound world of the bus driver who could not give a fuck. That is where we're at in the game. That's where we're at. If you're at, well, Dan, where are we at? I think that's where we're at. I think we, you know, in 2021, late 21, probably more like early 2022, probably, yeah, I would say right around the time of the beginning of the great Ukraine war, we have been in a kind of brief intermission. Yeah, there's been Ukraine bullshit, and we got to send all of our artillery shells to the Ukraine. God forbid a United States military in constitutional mutiny ended up using those weapons. That should never happen. But anywho, there's been that fucking Ukraine war. And more or less, whatever crazy shit was coming out of the Arctic, as far as news, in 2019, most of that's been stamped down since 2019. So who the fuck knows what's happening around the Arctic Circle right now? We're told that 50 communists or Soros people with Bic lighters have set the Arctic Circle on fire. Well, that's a theory. probably not accurate, probably not true, especially when you consider that these peat fires, these methane fires, don't go out any longer. They burn year-round. They may smolder down a bit, but they keep burning. But sure, I'm sure the Bic lighter compares to, I don't know, trillions of tons of methane, fucker.
But then...
Yeah. So I don't know what the fuck's coming. Neither do you. Something is coming, and the brief intermission is almost over. So I'm going to end this podcast, which I'll probably upload when I'm able. Might be tomorrow or the next day. But I will end this podcast with the following. I don't think it's the end of the world. Yeah, I do think something ugly approaches. What do you do? Do what you want to do because your life is yours. If you have kids, you have responsibilities. And so you have to do right by them. But do I have a magical safety book? Well, where do I go, Dan? You're on the fucking Death Star with the rest of us. You tell me. You saw what happened at the end of episode 4. Did it look like there was a safe spot? I mean, I guess the getaway vehicle for Vader, right? The 2-seater. That was kind of safe. Maybe he had a single-seater. But the point is, Vader got away. Vader got away. And you're not Vader, okay? I'm not Vader either. Vader gets away, probably to Antarctica. But you and I are going to have to deal with the shit. Now, in this scenario, we're probably not all burnt up pieces of dust in the depths of space. But are we in a toilet bowl? Basically, some of us circling the drain. There's little bits of crusty you can hold on to. And if you can hold on tight enough, you might not drown. That's probably about it. And the flush is coming. But if you're a family and were to say to me, where do I go? What do I do? Learn basic skills. Know how to purify water. But I'm tired of talking. I've been talking about this for fucking forever. Okay? There are things we can all do. It's also your life. If it's your family, make the best choice you can. You want to know where a safe zone is? I've heard people mention Joel Skousen. Personally, that guy predicted we'd already be in a nuclear war by now, but he keeps adjusting his futuristic predictions versus grading himself. What the fuck do I care? All I can tell you is that in 2011, he said sometime right about, 2020, there was going to be some sort of war. And yeah, there was something, but it wasn't really the war, was it, Joel? He keeps revising his predictions. That's what you do when you can't hit your mark. Me personally, I grade myself and I move on. That's what I do. But yeah, buy that fucking book. Buy any number of books that can tell you what part of this world will be untouched by consequence. If you believe there's a magical part of Planet Bull Blimpdoc that's going to be untouched by consequence, show me where the fuck that is. I've already told you where I think the elite believe it is, but you show me. Is it in Kentucky? Is it someplace in Nevada? Is it someplace in Ohio? How about someplace in Maine? The lobster people? Is that going to be a safe zone? The lobster people of Maine, they start to look like lobster. You can do the best you can, and you can make the best choices you can. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope what we're looking at is a bottom bouncing of whatever unto a centroid future of whatever crapola is available and people can keep scraping by. I kind of hope I'm wrong, because even that and what we have now, as dystopian and distasteful as it is for those of us who have sensibility, it's a life. For a lot of people and their families. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think I am. I don't think any of those things are going to be on the menu. I think a day in the not too distant future, the very things you depend upon, and these are words from a 2015 essay I wrote. I'm more or less remembering them. But in the not too distant future, there are going to be things that you depend upon today that will be undependable, that will be unreliable, probably won't be there. Could be the internet, could be electricity, could be food delivery. Like going to your grocery. I went to Whole Foods, Dan, and all they had were carbs. I wanted my fresh greens, and there weren't any, Dan. Probably for a lot of different crooked reasons, buddy. You know, get to know the black market, by the way. Especially if we slowly slide into chaos and we have some sort of dystopian police state reaction. Understand there are things you'll still be able to get in the black market, but you have to know people. That's the problem. Know the right people. But is there going to be a book you can buy that's going to guarantee no pain and no sadness and no death? Is there a book you can buy that's going to tell you how to react the first time, not on TV, not in a movie, but the first time you see violence done to another person and you can't do anything to stop it? Is there going to be a book for that? And the answer is no. I'd say there's the Bible. I'd say there's have a good relationship with Jesus. And I'd say pray. But there's going to be no book. You'll make the best decisions you can make with the information you have. The first battle will be the battle within your own mind to not give up. And if you choose not to give up, then you can fight another day. If you give up in your head, it doesn't matter how many guns you have, how many cans of chili you have. It does not matter because the first battle was always in your mind. If you enjoy this podcast, and as I've said so many times, I don't know why, you can donate to it. There's a PayPal link. The link still works. Am I thinking about trying to set up a Patreon account and other things? Yes, I am. I'm probably going to be living in the National Forest for most of a week, starting pretty soon. But on a Saturday or Sunday, when I get into town, and yeah, I'll think about setting up a Patreon, if they'll let me. But yeah, I'll try to think of setting up other ways, but right now it's PayPal. If you want to donate, you can. But before you do, listen to the fucking speech. Number one, take care of your own food, water, shelter. You as a drowning person do not help other drowning people by saying, I can help, okay? If you do not have the money after you pay for food, water, shelter to donate to some dude on the internet, that's okay. Take care of food, water, shelter first. Number two, if you're setting aside food for yourself, a little extra, set aside food for your pets. Okay? Don't be a jerk. You know, hopefully you live someplace where your pets can forage. You know, I know a person that has cats, and he lives kind of in the woods, so chances are his cats will find some kind of meal when they get hungry enough. You know, they might even take down a deer. You never can tell. If there are people in your immediate life that need help, friends, family, you name it, help them before you donate to some random dude on the internet. And last but not least, as I've stated so many different ways, it's not the end of the world and things are still quasi-normal. And as long as they're quasi-normal, you can still go out and do things that are fun, that maybe are enjoyable. So if you've taken care of your food, your water, your shelter, your responsibilities, you still have some money left, before you donate to some random dude on the internet, donate to yourself. Take a fucking break. Believe it or not, a time is coming where that will probably not be an option. By the way, if you want to understand your good friend Dan, okay, and how he balances out the emptiness of his life not having kids or a family? Well, I try to take breaks because I'm pretty certain that between day zero and the day that, you know, I turn up towards the sky and they put little pennies on my eyes, that those are going to be some rough fucking days. And there won't be a lot of fucking breaks. So I try to take them right now. Okay? In whatever way I can, to include the podcasting, believe it or not, I enjoy it. Okay, this is, this month has not been a great month for me. I bet it hasn't been a great month for a lot of you too. So I try to take a break. So before you donate to anybody on the internet to include your good friend Dan, donate to yourself if you can. Enjoy yourself a little bit. Those days aren't going to be so easy in the future. Will they disappear completely? No. Will they be redefined drastically and radically? Yeah. The word vacation will mean something different. The word toilet will mean something different. The word surgery will mean something different. A lot of things are going to mean something different. They won't disappear. You're still going to have old Crabby Jones with his rusty knives and his surgical parlor, and he'll cut into you, and he'll do it for, a couple chickens and maybe a slog of that there ham. But don't be surprised by the outcomes, is all I'm saying. He made it through 1 year of veterinary school. A lot of things will be redefined. Family will probably look a lot more like it used to. Love between men and women will probably become a different kind of love, probably more like it was in olden times. And I'm not saying that women will have to become second-class citizens. That's not my fucking point. But my point is the power we give to love, whether it's man, woman, woman, I don't fucking care. Your choices are your choices before God, but love itself is going to mean something different. That day is coming. So will death. So will life. So will every word we use every day. What does it mean to run, Dan? Well, I don't have to run any longer like I used to at 6 a.m. I don't buy Nike shoes. I buy good leather boots from the dude that makes them. And running is running. Running from a tiger. Running from a mob. Running from some thieves. Running from my third wife over County Way. Yeah. Lots of words will be redefined. And in some ways, they'll come closer to their true meaning. We'll see. I don't really know. I'm of the hopefulness that the case I describe, which I consider a best case, is also likely. I fear sometimes that the worst case is more likely, and that what we're looking at, barring a biblical interpretation, is one of the most difficult times the human race has confronted, probably in 70,000 years. Not since that, what was it, the Toba caldera explosion that took the human race down to about 10,000 people? Yeah, I think in relative terms, what we could be facing, worst case, is something like that. And that's not going to be pretty. That's a nice way of putting it. But the best case is going to be probably pretty ugly too. And yet, none of this is the end of the world, really. And I would say, you know what? Even a better reason to take a break. But if you've done all that, and you're a Bitcoin baron, a space-time Charlie, you're some type of Texas driller, and you've taken care of all your hookahs, and you still got gold and silver, cocaine, and race cars left over, well, you can donate those to me, bro. I'll put them to good use. In quadrant 37 and region 26. So for Tuesday, September the 12th, 2023, it's probably pretty close to 1 p.m. here in the Orlikon district. But wherever you are, I hope you're having a good day. I hope you remember that shit can be crazy. It might get really fucking crazy. Still doesn't mean you can't have a great day. and keep on rocking, baby.